You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your host, Colton Molesky. I'm back. I'm back in the studio. I'm back from the hiatus. I'm back from the spring break. Whatever you choose to call it, I am back. I told you guys I had some wisdom teeth stuff. Help me out for a few shows. I had some stuff going in my personal life that will stay personal, but I had some stuff going down that was affecting the work situation. I hopefully have put that behind me this week or this last week. Hopefully that is done with. I apologize for the lack of shows last week. The way everything broke down with some personal stuff and how that related to studios and everything like that and misunderstandings. All of it broke a bad way as far as to say that I wasn't able to do any shows last week. Again, I want to apologize for that. I really was wanting to do shows. Wasn't able to, but all of that I hope is in the rearview mirror. All of that is behind me and behind us as a group, as a collective. And I missed you guys. I missed talking to you guys. I missed posting up the show. And I'm glad to be back. I'm really excited to be talking Timberwolves basketball. And I'm really excited to be bringing you guys content. As always, daily Timberwolves show here on Locked On Wolves. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the Timberwolves today. And we're going to talk about a massive, absolutely massive game they had yesterday. This was fun because obviously no Sunday NFL football going on, and it really was a great Sunday afternoon. One of the better Sunday afternoons as far as sports for the first time since football ended. You had the Timberwolves. Even if you're not a Timberwolves fan, just as a basketball fan, the Timberwolves Warriors game was a truly fantastic watch. And then you had of course Tiger Woods. He was playing golf first time I saw a tweet about this, first time in like 1,000 days or something like that he's finished in the top five of a tournament or something like that. Maybe it was more, I can't remember exactly. But it's needless to say, it's been a long time since Tiger Woods finished in the top five. And I don't know how you feel about Tiger Woods as the person, but as the golfer, I always have enjoyed watching Tiger Woods. He's always been a fun player to watch. And growing up as a kid, he was one of my favorite golfers to watch. So it was fun seeing him play well. And then you had, I always have two sports things going when I'm watching sports stuff. Usually I throw up the main thing. I had the Timberwolves and Warriors on the TV, and then I'm usually doing something on the laptop, and then on the phone I had streaming Tiger Woods. So it was a good sports afternoon. Great way to spend a Sunday when the sun is shining through the window, and you're plopped down on the couch and you're able to watch a couple different things sports wise. So I really enjoyed yesterday. Needless to say, it was really fun. And it was a great day for sports, especially if you're a Timberwolves fan. 109-103 victory over the Golden State Warriors. That's right, the Timberwolves knocked off the Warriors. And I don't want to hear any of this. Curry was out. This is a devaluation. This was a Jimmy Butler-less Timberwolves team that knocked off the Warriors. They're at home. Survived Kevin Durant's 39.12 rebound performance to win by 6 points. Very tight game. 6 lead changes in this one. Back and forth game. The 34-point first quarter for the Minnesota Timberwolves was fought back by the Golden State Warriors with a 38-point second quarter. Really great back-and-forth battle. In the end, a 25-19 push in the fourth quarter for the Timberwolves was really the deciding factor here. Finished really strong, which is something that has been a problem for the Timberwolves. Yeah, just finishing strong. You saw it against the Rockets in the games that they played against the Rockets, finishing strong. Well, obviously, in the meeting where Jimmy Butler went out, that was going to be a problem. You see your star player go out with a knee injury, and it's going to be trouble finishing strong. But the game before that, when it was close and the Rockets just hit a bunch of threes at the end of the game, you kind of felt like maybe that's the way it could go with Kevin Durant, the way he was shooting. He went 5 of 12 from three-point range and 11-32, but early on he seemed to be hitting everything. He seemed to be hitting everything, and again finished with 39 points, so he had a solid game. But it felt like maybe that was one of the games where the Timberwolves were playing with the top level competition, and then Klay Thompson and Durant were going to start hitting stuff late in the game, and the Timberwolves did a great job keeping pace with them, and then and surging past them in the fourth quarter. Like I mentioned, Karl Anthony Towns continuing his dominant run, leading this team while Jimmy Butler has been out with 31 points, 16 rebounds. He was dominant. He shot 2 of 5 from downtown, 13 of 24 from the field, 54% shooting. He just looked fantastic. My personal favorite play, you saw the three-point shot in transition was a great shot just because he's a seven-footer. Definitely making a case to be put in the class of one of the top unicorns again. I think a lot of people were doubting that status at the beginning of the season, and he is surging back into that conversation. He and Davis have played so well this last month. But my favorite play from him was that late in the game, the baseline to take back the lead. There was what was it? I think it was 102, I believe it was, and the Timberwolves were down. I think it was, and he hits that baseline shot, deep baseline shot, almost in the corner, to take the lead back. It's just he looked so good yesterday, and he was so much fun to watch. He has been so much fun to watch. A little stat for you, looking over some of the numbers that he's put up. Since Jimmy Butler has been out, February 23rd is when Jimmy Butler went down. Since Jimmy Butler went down, the Timberwolves are 3-1 when Jimmy Butler has over 20 points. The offense is clearly hums when he has it running through him. The only deviation from this was the 34-point game where the Timberwolves lost to the Portland Trail Blazers on the road. But he has been phenomenal, and he has been a big part of why this team has been able to stay afloat against the Western Conference competition that has been a tumultuous couple of days if you're a Timberwolves fan, or I should say week. If you're a Timberwolves fan, if you haven't been paying close attention to the standings, there has been quite the shakeup from the third spot to the 10th spot. And before we get into conversations about seeding and everything like that, the last thing I wanted to say, walking away from this Warriors game to kind of wrap it up, is this is a really good Timberwolves team. And maybe, now I'm not going to say that the Jimmy Butler going down is helpful, because obviously it's not, that's a stupid thing to say, but the silver lining to all this is maybe Towns is finding the superstar side of himself that is kind of leading this team. You see a lot from him where there are plenty of possessions now where he is just going to own the possession and he's going to dominate the possession. And the difference here is that not only is that happening on both sides of the ball, where there are certain possessions on defense where he's just not going to let his guy score, and then on offense where he is just going to score and he is going to do whatever it takes, but he's going to be the one with the basketball and he's going to score. He's really taken on a superstar kind of mentality over the last few games, and you saw glimmers of that. People, obviously, even as far back as his Kentucky days, you saw people were saying he was going to be a superstar. So calling out his talent isn't necessarily stepping on a ledge, but now you're seeing that number one guy, I'm the best player on the floor right now, and I'm going to prove it by scoring here or by stopping you here. That kind of mentality has really been showing through in this stretch where Jimmy Butler has been out, and Towns has gotten to spread his wings a little bit, and he has helped stabilize the ship from sinking. Timberwolves are in the fifth spot right now. They dropped as low as the sixth spot. They did have a stretch where obviously they weren't playing any games last week for five games it was, I believe, and then they lost to the Celtics on Thursday. This is a really good team, and this is Karl Anthony Towns is showing why you shouldn't be super worried about this team, despite the stretch of games they have to play, despite Jimmy Butler going down, despite the youth on the team. He is going to be better than the obstacles, and whether that translates into a fourth spot or into a fifth spot or even into a sixth spot in the playoffs, he is going to bring this team into the playoffs, and he's going to make sure that they secure at least a playoff spot. And so that's why you shouldn't be worried about the Timberwolves. And he proved that in a great game against the Warriors and in a game against the best team in basketball. Even though they're the 2 seed right now, I still think they're the best team in basketball. And even without Curry, this is a very, very impressive win. Even if they are at home, this is a very impressive win to beat a team with 3 all-stars on the roster starting. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. Very impressive, and that was spearheaded and led by Karl Anthony Towns willing the Timberwolves past the Warriors, and this was a very impressive statement win. We're going to take a break from some sponsors before I talk about the playoff picture for the Timberwolves, what this weekend, this last 4 days kind of meant, kind of what you should think of the Timberwolves going forward here, as well as some players in March that I think have been important, and some players that have stood out to me. I'll get into all that, but first, a word from some sponsors. The playoff standings have been a mess. It's been super fun. I have loved the last month and a half of basketball just because the playoff standings have been so tight. You have Portland, New Orleans, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, the LA Clippers, Denver, Utah. They're all kind of crunched in this, crunched in together. Their win totals differ by 3 games between the third and the 10th spot in the West. This has been awesome. You saw the Timberwolves, without playing any games, they bounced they bounced from the 3rd seed to the 6th seed just because there's so much jumble. New Orleans has been all over there. Oklahoma City has been all over there. San Antonio has been bouncing all over the place. The Clippers are now a playoff team. Denver is now on the outside looking in. Utah is sitting right there at 37 and 30. Both Denver and Utah are sitting right there on the outside looking in. The Clippers are 36 and 29. San Antonio is 37 and 29. Oklahoma City is 39 and 29. Minnesota, obviously, 39 and 29. New Orleans, 38 and 28. And then Portland is 40 and 26. All super, super tight. And this is making for just a phenomenal final push into the playoffs. All these teams have a real shot at bumping up to that third or fourth spot. And at least 4 of these teams could very well be out of the playoffs by the time it's all said and done. This is crazy. This is awesome. And over the weekend after the Celtics loss, a bunch of people. This is going to become a surprise, but I do have friends. I do have people who talk to me. I don't just talk into a microphone all the time. But after the 117-109 loss to Boston, there were a lot. I had a lot of friends texting me. I had friends over the weekend talking to me about how they are really worried and the Timberwolves are going to fall out of the playoffs. First of all, hold on, people. Hold on. Hit the brakes. The Timberwolves are not going to fall out of the playoffs, all right? I'm banking my reputation on it. The Timberwolves are not falling out of the playoffs. They still, without Butler, they still have an all-star in Towns. I feel like people forget that. This is an all-star level player in Towns. You still have veteran talent in T, Crawford, Taj Gibson. These are all solid players. Wiggins, I know people have had his doubts. He's given me a lot of stress this season, but he is still a good player in Andrew Wiggins. You still have good role guys in Belly, in Tyus Jones. These are solid role pieces. You still have a good roster. This is a good team. And they're still going to be a playoff team. This is a roster that should end up with 43 wins. That's going to be no problem for them. They're going to end up in the playoffs. The question is, and has always been since Butler went out, is seeding. What seed do they end up with in the playoffs? New Orleans has been insane. Anthony Davis has rocketed into the MVP discussion, but Damian Lillard should also be in the MVP discussion. If we're just basing the voting now off of the last 2 months of action, Damian Lillard is right there with him. He's been playing insane, phenomenal basketball. He's rocketed the Portland Trailblazers to the third spot in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City, you can never count them out with players like Russell Westbrook and Paul George on their team. Even Carmelo Anthony has his nights where he is hitting and knocking down every shot. That trio still is worth reckoning with, is a force to be reckoned with, and you still have to consider them in the playoff running. I think they'll still be a playoff team when all is said and done. San Antonio, you can't count out a Popovich team. They're still in this thing. The Clippers, with just their cast of role players that is somehow working out and playing really well together, their offense has looked very crisp, is in this thing. All these teams are very good. The difference between a couple of these teams, I'm looking at the Clippers, I'm looking at the Nuggets, I'm looking at Utah, even to an extent, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the difference between all those teams and the Minnesota Timberwolves is it really feels like at least some of this is figured out. For a night-to-night basis, some of this is figured out. Now, how can I put guys like Oklahoma, the teams like Oklahoma City or even Denver in that cast under the Timberwolves? The Timberwolves on offense, Towns, like I said earlier, has really come into his own. He's dominating possessions. He's dominating games. He has really come into his own. Wiggins, you still know he can, his ceiling is still a 25-point guy. You can average that on offense. I know that he's had some really confusing stretches, but I still believe that's in him. He can be a guy who drops 40 on a night. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do that regularly, but his ceiling is still a guy who averages 25 a night, and I think he can do that for a couple week stretch. That is in him for a couple week stretch. Whether he finds that is a little more up for grabs, but that is still in him. So you still have a really good offensive piece there. Jeff Teague is a very solid point guard, very good at playmaking and making other players better around him. Even if you look at yesterday's game, only 10 points, but he also put up 10 assists. That's very important, especially when you have a guy like Towns down low or in the post. Getting him the ball, feeding him the ball is very important. Taj Gibson, the wily veteran who has quietly established himself as a very important kind of double-double piece on this team. Another 11-13 the other day against the Warriors. Jamal Crawford, very good off the bench for some spark offense. Tyus Jones, a solid defensive piece off the bench, a very good point guard off the bench. Even Bielitsa has really shown some things over the last couple of games offensively. What I'm saying is this offense, whatever woes you have on the defensive side, whatever question marks you have about how Wiggins will play, if Jeff Teague is really the point guard this team needs, this offense is crisp. This offense is very crisp, and they have proven that by consistently being a very good offense. See, whatever doubts you have about this team, whatever doubts you have about the Timberwolves, this team is an offense that ranks 9 in the NBA over the course, or sixth in the NBA over the course of the season, 109.7 points per game, sixth offense in the NBA. Whatever you want to say about the Timberwolves, that is still very consistent. And the Clippers have had tons of turnover and lots of injury problems on their team. Lots of players with hampering injuries. I'm not sure. I love the Clippers. I love watching the Clippers. I love Lou Williams and Tobias Harris and Harrell, the young Harrell off the bench for them. I love watching those guys. But I'm not sure night to night if everybody can stay healthy, and I'm not sure how consistent it is just because this team has been pieced together over the course of a bunch of different trades from the offseason and during the season. The Denver Nuggets have been streaky on the offensive side. They've proven some things. Murray has looked a lot better this season, but they still aren't nearly as consistent as the Timberwolves. They are in the eighth spot right now in offense. Just, I don't trust their guys offensively as much as I trust guys like Towns, guys like Jamal Crawford to put up points, guys like Wiggins to come back to form. And then you have the Utah Jazz, who are maybe the streakiest team of this bunch. They had the 11-game winning streak, and now they have crashed back to earth. Their offense is ranked 25th, 102.8 points per game. Their offense was really great for the 11th-game winning streak. Crashed back to earth at the end of February. They're averaging 87 points at the end of February. Just very streaky team. I don't trust them to have what it takes to make a run back into the playoff picture. And then you have the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City Thunder are, they're a very curious case. It seems right now like the best version of Russell Westbrook is the playmaking version for his teammates. And every time I see the Thunder's offense playing really well, and I watch a lot of Thunder basketball, because I watch a lot of basketball, too much some would say. But when I see them and their offense humming, usually, not always, but usually the version of their offense that seems to work the best is when Russell Westbrook is putting up a triple-double that doesn't involve 30-point games. When he's putting up an 18, 17, and 10 kind of triple-double, that's when this offense seems to be running at its smoothest, when Paul George is taking the bulk of the shots and doing the most of the scoring, when Carmelo Anthony is staying in his lane by not stretching his game, by finding those mid-range jumpers, those 18-foot jumpers, and only taking about 12 to 14 shots a game instead of 20 to 23. That seems to be the best version of this offense. The problem for me and why I trust the Timberwolves over OKC is that I don't trust in desperation when this team is really making a push at the end of the season, or even in a desperation game. I don't trust the best version of this offense to always be the version that shows up. I don't trust Carmelo Anthony to not think that he needs to be the one to take all the shots. I don't trust Russell Westbrook to think that he needs to be willing to take over the game and just kind of revert back into that MVP mode that he had last season, where he needs to be the one taking all the shots and his teammates need to stand in the corner and just wait for him to feel like they get to shoot the ball. That team isn't showing up night to night, and I give them credit for figuring it out over the course of the season, but that team still is showing up sometimes, and I don't trust Westbrook and Anthony to stay true to the purest version of the OKC Thunder for the best interest of this team in crunch time, both in games and in the crunch time of this season. I trust the Timberwolves to do what they need to do, at least offensively, for the rest of this season, and I think that will end up winning out. I think the Portland Trailblazers are a very good team. I think the best version of the New Orleans Pelicans is when Anthony Davis is playing lights out, and because Anthony Davis is so good, the Pelicans can really ride this out as long as he is able to sustain it. And so I'm not sure, but the Pelicans scare me a little bit. The way Drew Holiday has played this year has been phenomenal. The absolute best version of Drew Holiday showed up for this season after the big contract, and they are playing really well. But OKC, the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Jazz, I don't trust them. And so when people were panicking this weekend, and of course nobody's panicking now that you beat the Warriors, but when people were panicking this weekend, that was what I was saying, is the teams that are still contending and still making pushes, the Timberwolves at least can be consistent on one side of the ball far better than four of these teams. And so that's why I wouldn't panic. I don't know. I honestly don't know what seed the Timberwolves are going to get. I have no idea. My professional opinion is I have no clue what they're going to end up. I can see them pushing all the way to the third seed just as easily as I can see them dropping all the way to the sixth seed. Again, 3 wins is all the difference between Portland and Utah. And so I'm not sure what seed they get, but I know that they will be in the playoffs. I promise you they'll be in the playoffs. Last thing I wanted to touch on before I head out here, before I get to class, is a couple players that have really stood out to me, and then predicting who is going to be a big player or a big couple of players headed into the final few games of the season. It's winded down. Gosh, we are so close to the end of the season. And it makes me excited for the playoffs. It makes me sad because I love watching. I know it sounds crazy to some people. I love watching NBA regular season games. I love every drop of it. I love all the storylines. I love the night in, night out competition. So I have mixed emotions about the NBA season coming to a close, especially a crazy NBA year that we've had this season. But it is winding down fast. And so here are the few guys that stuck out to me. These are all going to be obvious, but over the last month, the best players to me have been Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, and Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard obviously has been a monster. He has closed out so many games, most notably against the Warriors recently. He has closed out so many games and been so hot from three, and he has helped push the Portland Trailblazers into the third seed. Although, I will talk about this later this week, because since they share a division and a conference with the Timberwolves, it bears some in-depth conversation. But there are a lot of pieces on this Portland Trailblazers team that I like, that I liked since the draft, and that I like going into the end of the season. But Damian Lillard has been the key in all of that, and he has had a crazy good season, and he is finishing up with a lights out performance to finish off the season. He has been amazing. Anthony Davis, obviously, he actually recorded his first career triple double the other day on his 25th birthday. I believe it was 34 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 blocks. Are you kidding me? 10 blocks? Jeez, he is insane. He's a monster. And he has actually put himself as a very serious MVP candidate in the last few games of this season. I said that I did not consider him an MVP candidate in February, coming out of the All-Star game when the buzz started initially starting, just because of where the Pelicans were. And I'm going to be honest with you, I did not think that Anthony Davis could actually put the Pelicans this deep into the playoff seeding. And now I have to admit, I admit it. The bigger man admits when he's wrong. I admit, I was totally wrong on my Anthony Davis take. He is totally an MVP candidate. I did not suspect that he could actually propel this team into the top four spots in the playoffs. Whether that holds will be a question that only time can tell, but this team looks like it's going to be a playoff team, and it's all because of Anthony Davis. All credit to Anthony Davis. He has been absolutely insane. He's been a monster, and I have to walk it back. I'm fine with walking it back. I'm totally fine with admitting when I was wrong, but I was absolutely wrong about Anthony Davis. He could very well get this team into the playoffs, and he could very well get this team into a top four spot. And that is insane. He has been lights out. In February, he averaged 35 points per game. He has just been a monster. And so that's a very real possibility because of the winning streak he put them on. And I would watch out for the Pelicans, watch out for Anthony Davis. Towns, Jimmy Butler was a guy who the storyline around Jimmy Butler, there was a couple, but the main one was that he came into the Timberwolves and he was revamping not only the defensive mindset, but the culture around how this team approaches basketball, around how this team prepares, around how this team gets ready for games, around how this team conducts themselves in games and in the locker room and around the game of basketball. He was kind of changing the culture and then changing the defensive culture bit by bit for the Timberwolves. And then he went out after this team was grabbed the third spot before the All-Star break and was prepping to make a run in the last 21 games of their season. He went out, and now the team has been bouncing around a little bit, and Towns has been the one who's added stability to this team. Towns is the one who's going to keep this team's playoff hopes a reality, and so he is the one for me who has been one of the most important players. I know that a lot of people would say James Harden, a lot of people would say LeBron James, but those players have been some of the most important people in basketball since the first game of the season. Over the last month and a half, the most important players have easily been these three guys and what they've done for their teams, especially Towns over the last month roughly of the season. What he means to the Timberwolves and what he has done for them and how he has been able to stabilize them despite everything is incredible and is by far the most important thing for the Timberwolves right now. He is my most important player. A couple guys going forward that will be very important to the season. Kevin Durant, an obvious one, but with Curry out, the Warriors have lost the last couple of games to the Wolves and to the Trailblazers. He is going to be very important. He needs to continue to have really big nights. He's been having great nights, and they've still lost games. For the Warriors to keep winning, he is going to have to continue to be lights out shooting. He is going to have to put up 30-point games pretty much every night. He's going to be a really fun player to watch. He's already been so much fun to watch, and he's going to easily be one of the better shows night in and night out for the NBA for the remainder of this season. This is a personal one. I talked about him earlier. Montrezl Harrell for the Clippers. I am just having so much. I know this one is just me. This one is literally just me, but I'm buying all the Harrell stock. He has been so much fun to watch. He has been just electric off the bench for the Clippers. He has been a great big guy, a great power forward, center kind of hybrid guy, almost kind of what Jordan Bell was for the Warriors before he was injured. But he has been so much fun to watch off the bench. He's been great in transition, rim running. He's been great down low in the paint. He's been a fun dunk factory to watch. He's been the fun baby DeAndre Jordan that is better, in transition maybe. And Harrell has been, he's been super fun to watch. I've enjoyed it immensely. And because of all the turnover on the Clippers, I think he's getting a lot of key minutes for him to play, which is something you wouldn't see on a Doc Rivers team unless you see all this transition and turnover like they have experienced. So he's been a fun player to me. If you don't watch a bunch of Clippers basketball, definitely flip it on just to watch him at least a few times throughout the rest of the season. That one is just more a personal favorite of mine just because I think you should be watching him. And so for my first show back in after the hiatus, that's all I have. Again, it is so good to be back, so good to be talking to you guys, so good to be bringing you guys content, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you very much, listeners, for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.